thank you so much for this day that you have given us. And I pray now, dear Lord, as we open the Word of God, that you would allow the Holy Spirit of God to teach us and instruct us. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Back over in the book of Exodus this morning, we'll be in chapter number 31. Exodus chapter 31. We have concluded the study of the tabernacle proper as we've looked at all the instruments, all the furniture, all of the materials that were used to build the tabernacle. We've concluded that study. We've concluded looking at the life of the children of Israel as they've left Egypt and now we're in bondage. We've looked at the plagues. We've looked at how God has brought them through the wilderness. We've looked at how God supplied their need for water and for food in the wilderness. We've seen the sin of the children of Israel out in the wilderness. And now we come to the final few chapters of this book. A lengthy study that we've concluding now in the next couple weeks. And what a journey it's been looking at this revelation of redemption, which is what the book of Exodus is all about. When the time has come for carrying out the purpose of God, the will of God, difficulties will arise, obstacles will arise, challenges will arise. But when the time is come for that to be begun and completed, those obstacles, if you're doing it through the will of God, will just simply vanish away. It's like the doors just open automatically. You get all green lights through town. You know, it's just like, wow, what has happened is because you're doing it through the will of God and through His strength, through His ability, and you're following Him, and He's going to open the doors. The obstacles that oppose the deliverance of the children of Israel from Egypt, Pharaoh kept saying, no, you cannot go. But when the time came that was in God's will for them to leave, the doors were flung open. They were not only told to leave with no hesitations, no limitations to how they could leave or who could leave, but they were almost thrust out of Egypt. And that was because it was God's time. When the appointed hour came for them to leave Egypt, it says in the Bible in Exodus 12 and verse 41, the self same day, they were not hindered to leave. At the Red Sea, when they come to the place where there seems no way out, the armies of Pharaoh are coming, there's a barrier before them that they cannot cross. But at time of God and in His will, a door is open. The path through the Red Sea is open. When they're in the wilderness and the need of bread and water is prevalent, in the hour of need, God provided a plan. God was revealing to His children. And us today, as we read these accounts, God is revealing to us that nothing is impossible with Him. Nothing is impossible with God. Nothing. If we'll just trust Him, if we'll just follow Him and His plan. He has brought His people through the wilderness now. He has commanded a tabernacle to be built as Moses is up on Mount Sinai. We've been on Mount Sinai now with Moses a considerable amount of time. And God has given direction to Moses. And as He has commanded Moses not only of the law, He has also commanded him and told him of the pattern of the tabernacle and how it was to be furnished and how he was to be worshipped and the service that was to go on. The materials that were to be used were of the highest quality. And the workmanship was to be done by master craftsmen. But where would the materials be found? They're in the wilderness. They're at Mount Sinai in the middle of nowhere. Where would those materials for the tabernacle be found? Well, behold, God had already provided that. When they left Egypt, the Egyptians just gave them gold, silver, precious stone, fine linen. Everything they would need was provided by God through the Egyptians. But now we have all the materials, The gold, the silver, the precious stones, the other things that were found amongst them that were given freely in this free will offering we've looked at. Who was there among them that could fashion according to the pattern of God the instruments that God has now dictated to Moses to be built? The brazen altar, the laver, the curtains, the roofs of the tabernacle, the Ark of the Covenant, the mercy seat, the table of showbread, the golden candlestick, the altar of incense. Who was there among them that could craft these items? They had been so oppressed in Egypt, they were slaves in Egypt, that it would have been almost in vain to look amongst them to find a skilled artist, a skilled craftsman that could work in gold and silver and jewels and fine linen to execute what was required of God for the pattern of the tabernacle, wouldn't it? No, not in God's plan, not in God's time. God has always prepared a plan, and He always has a man or a woman to carry out His plan. The work of God at Mount Sinai, when Moses comes down from Mount Sinai and tells the people this is what's going to happen, there was no delay in God's plan. God already had worked it all out. They didn't have to hunt around for who was going to be the master craftsman, who was going to be able to shape and form this gold and this silver and this wood and this fabric and this linen and this embroidery. They didn't have to look around because the Bible tells us in Exodus 31 that God called them by name. He already had chosen two individuals. He had an overseer, if you will, Moses, sort of like the supervisor, and then this first gentleman is going to be like the contractor, and then he's going to have a helper, and then they're going to have a team. And God already had that all planned out from the children of Israel. So we go to Exodus in chapter number 31, we see in verse 1, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying," he is still in Mount Sinai. He is still on top of the mount with God. "See, I have called by name Bezaleel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, the son of the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God and wisdom and an understanding and knowledge and all manner of workmanship to devise cunning works, to work in gold and silver and brass, and in cutting of stones to set them, and carving of timber to work in all manner of workmanship. And I, behold, I have given with him Aholiab, the son of Ahishamach, of the tribe of Dan, and in the hearts of all that are wise-hearted I have put wisdom, that they may make all that I have commanded thee." But go back to verse 2. "See, I have called by name." What a phrase. Called by name. God, Almighty God, the Creator of the universe, is communicating with Moses, the prophet of God, the leader of the children of Israel on top of Mount Sinai. And God says, "I have called by name, Moses. I already have a plan. I already have an individual that I have set aside, that I have given a gift by the Spirit of God to be able to form this, to work this, to make what I have given you. And I've given him a helper in the same regard that I know his name." God knows our name. He not only knows the hairs, the number of hairs on our head as they diminish day by day, but he also knows our name. What a thought that is, that God knows our name. And God knows the plan for our lives, for us individually. Now, he doesn't, as a robot, direct us to follow his plan, his will. He gives us a free will to choose to obey him or not. And it is our duty to find out his will for our lives. And as he shows us his will for our lives, it is our obligation and our duty to agree to it and follow it, but it's our choice. God says, "I have called by name these men out of your family, out of your community, out of your nation, I have called them." They're not Egyptians. They're not some other nationality just brought in to help the children of Israel. These are of their own people who were just slaves not many months hence. God says, by His Spirit, says in verse 3, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God. God by His Spirit is instructing and filling these men, Bezalel and Aholiab, with a perfect knowledge of the work, the whole work, who will be the supervisors of the work. Others were to be taught, we'll see that in just a moment, others were to be taught that had wisdom placed in their heart by God. And they were taught to execute the work assigned to them. And this team that God puts together was such a Spirit-led team that they could form from a pattern God gave to Moses. And they took that pattern from the oral tradition of Moses to these men, or maybe Moses would draw on the ground what he had seen from God. But they took that and they created it. They made it. They formed it in 9 months. In 9 months, they had the entire tabernacle built and operational. That's an amazing feat. God called these men by name for their task. The powers which they were now called upon to exercise in their respected crafts were declared to have been given by the Holy Spirit of God. That's what it says in verse 3. I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and all manner of workmanship. You go down to verse 6. And behold, I have given with him Aholiab, the son of Ahishamak, of the tribe of Dan, in the hearts of all that were wise hearted. I have put wisdom, that they may have all that I have, they may make all that I have commanded thee. Now, Bezalel, you get tongue tied, you start saying his name five times quick. He was the son of Uri, the grandson of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. Now, if we looked over in the book of Chronicles, we could see his lineage. He's got a pretty amazing lineage. But his grandfather is here mentioned in the book of Exodus. His grandfather was Ur, the man whom with Aaron held up the arms of Moses during the battle with Amalek at Rephidim. When they left Egypt and they come face to face with the army of Amalek and he doesn't want them to pass at Rephidim, whenever Moses had his arms lifted, they prevailed. And Joshua and the army of Israel were defeating Amalek. But when Moses' arms would get tired holding up the rod of God, the armies of Amalek would prevail. And so Aaron comes up and he sits Moses down on a rock and he says, you hold up your arms, and Aaron on one side and Ur on the other side, we'll hold your arms up. And they prevailed and won the victory. Hur, his grandfather, was that man. His name means under God's shadow, or in the shadow of God. What a great name. In the shadow of God. He's not out there saying, look at me and look what I can do. He's like, this is from God. I'm performing, I'm making under God's shadow. I'm following God's will. He was assigned the execution of the works and the pattern of God for the tabernacle. He was like the chief supervisor of the project. He was chiefly responsible for the works of metal, wood, and jewels, and stone. And he must have lived a life according to the will of God, or he would never have been chosen. He had to be in perfect, not perfect because we can't be perfect, but he was in close fellowship with God. For when God called his name to Moses on Mount Sinai, he could look down into his heart and see he would be willing to follow. He had to have lived a life according to the purposes of God, the will of God, and was therefore willing to answer the call when it came. You know, God knows us by name. God has a plan for us, each of us individually and collectively. And when God assigns and directs us in a path that we should follow, we should be following it and saying, yes, Lord, what would you have me do? Next, Lord, what else would you have me do? Over in Luke chapter 16 and verse number 10, the Word of God says, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. You know, if we do things according to God's plan faithfully in little things, what's going to happen? God's going to trust us with more things, bigger things. You know, when you first started out as a Christian, you were zealous, you were excited to be working for God and doing something for God. Even if it was just a minor task, you were excited to be serving God. And if you prove faithful in those small tasks, for long, God's going to say, will you do this? And will you do this? And before long, you're teaching a Sunday school class. I remember when I was probably maybe 3 years old in the Lord. I've been growing, but not real prevalent. But I've been growing. About 3 years in the Lord, we got into a good church and we got under the sound of a good preacher and a teacher. He was teaching us how to be Christians. And you start off serving the Lord in little things, and all of a sudden he says, I need you to teach the teenagers. I'm only maybe 3 years old in the Lord. Teach teenager, and guess who was in that class? His two sons, the preacher sons, that had grown up in a preacher's home. They knew more than I did about the Bible. They would correct me after class, you know, you said that name wrong, or you got this wrong. And they helped me. Two teenagers helped me grow in the Lord. But as you continue to serve the Lord, He continues to increase your responsibilities in serving Him. You don't step out one day and become a Christian and the next day be a pastor. It just doesn't happen that way. God trusts you with little things and you show that you're faithful in those, and He will increase continually giving you responsibilities. So Bezalel must have lived a life that showed that he was trustworthy, he was faithful, he was willing to obey God, and God continued to give him more responsibilities. And another aspect of his life was he had a gift. He had a gift of artistic nature. He could craft with his hands. He could see images and be able to take it from an image to a physical design. If you don't use your gifts for the Lord, then they're not going to grow. If you don't use your gifts that God has given you, then how is that gift going to first honor God? It's going to build up pride in your life. Look what I can do. But if you do give that talent to the Lord, that gift to the Lord, and you use it for the Lord and for His honor and for His glory, then that gift is going to continue to increase in its nature. And then you have his assistant, his right-hand man, Eliab, the son of Ahishamach of the tribe of Dan. He appears to have been in charge mainly of the needlework, the embroidery, the linens. You can get that from Exodus number chapter 38 and verse 23. Exodus 38, begin verse 22, and Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, the tribe of Judah, made all that the Lord commanded Moses. And with him was Eliab, the son of Ahishamach of the tribe of Dan, an engraver and a cunning workman and an embroiderer in blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen. He was an engraver and an embroiderer. That was his main task. So he appears to have been in charge of the textiles, the fabrics, and the woven materials and the embroidery of those materials. You know, it's interesting to note what tribes these men are from. Bezalel is from the tribe of Judah, which our Lord is from the tribe of Judah. And then Eliab is from the tribe of Dan. You know, Dan in the Bible, if you research and study any of the tribes of Israel, the tribe of Dan was known for their war, their battle, their their strength. They were warriors. And here from the tribe of Dan, God calls by name a man and gives the gift of art, artistic talent. It's also interesting, though, if you go and you study that in 2 Chronicles chapter 2, when Solomon is building the temple, who he employs to be one of his workmen is from the tribe of Dan. We don't know for sure if they were relatives, but it would be interesting to study that a little more. You know, God called these men by name. What an honor to be called by the name, by your name, to be known by God by your name, the God of the universe to know your name. When their names were first mentioned in Exodus 31, as we've already mentioned, Moses was still communicating with God Almighty on Mount Sinai, even before these men knew God's plan for their lives. God already had a plan for their lives. That should teach us that God already has a plan for our lives. Before we entrusted Jesus Christ as our Savior, He already had a plan for our lives. Now, He wasn't going to choose for us salvation. We must choose that. And when we choose, when we believe and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, then God says, I've got a plan for their lives. Now, as a baby Christian, we're like, I don't know what God wants me to do, but God has a plan. When God was communicating to Moses on Mount Sinai and He calls these men by name, He had a plan for them, even though these men did not know it. And God's plan included filling them with the Spirit of God in four ways: in wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship. In these four ways, God is filling with the Spirit of God, giving them their gifts. And He gives it first in wisdom, which is power to originate, to invent, to create. In understanding, to receive and appreciate directions and suggestions. They weren't on Mount Sinai. They did not see the pattern of God. Moses had to communicate that to them. And that in understanding, that gift of understanding was able to take God's pattern from Moses and create, make. They also were given the gift of knowledge, which is information acquired by experience and acquaintance with facts. Now, let me speculate just here just a moment. When God gives us a talent to use for His glory, He's not going to pick something that's so far out of our comfort zone. He's going to give us a gift that we're naturally enjoy, naturally happy to do, naturally excited to do. When these men were back in Egypt, and they're under the strain of the taskmasters, you think their minds wandered to the beautiful buildings around them, the beautiful works of art that were around them? Do you think they looked at them maybe a little bit different than the normal Israelite? You know, they could see the gold and the blues and the purples and the reds and the designs, and they probably were looking at it. It's like, wow, I wonder what that was used to chisel out, or what. And the other Israelite was like, it's just a building we're having to build. Can you see that maybe in your mind's eye as you look at these men as they're given the gift of knowledge, they're information acquired by experience. Maybe in their homes they were playing with how to design certain things or draw things in their home. And then also they were given the gift of all manner of workmanship, which is to possess a manual dexterity, the power of artistic execution, to take from an image or a plan or a thought into a physical handheld object. The results of these gifts would enable these men to devise cunning works, the Bible says in verse 4. To design things excellently. But we shouldn't do anything for God second rate or third rate. Everything we do for the Lord should be first rate, the best of our ability. You know, if you brought a lamb to God that was blemished, you're not bringing God the best. And God would not accept that blemished lamb. Why then would we bring God a blemished? You fill in the blank. We should bring God our best. So they were devising cunning works, designed everything excellently, and they were to work in all manner of workmanship, which is to carry out the designs with success following God's plan. It has been said and debated through time that as everything had to be done through the tabernacle as described in very strict and precise detail, there was no room for original thought or artistic taste or license. I don't know if I agree with that. Yes, there are certain things that had to be followed exactly. But we don't see in the Word of God where God says what design exactly how to make on the curtains. It tells us what colors, what should be on it. Maybe God showed Moses, and now Moses can't show them that picture. So he has to relate to them, and they have the thought in their mind, and then they go execute. They're not inspired by God to do this. They're not roboted arms by God, and He's moving their arms when they're making these objects. Part of them is in these objects. The forms of the cherubim, the patterns to be woven into the linen curtains, the embroidery on these curtains, the shapes of the vessels, certain were given exact dimensions. The laver was not given exact dimensions. The capitals on top of the pillars that held up, we have no record of what the capitals look like on top of the pillars. Bezalel and Aholiab would have had to design them after such a description that was given by Moses orally from the pattern that God gave him. So there was, I believe, artistic expression, artistic license, if you will. Yes, they had a pattern to follow, but from that pattern they would design. For if we go to the temple and see Solomon, Solomon's temple is a little bit different from the tabernacle in many regards. Just looking at the cherubim were on top of the Ark of the Covenant, on top of the mercy seat in the tabernacle. You go to the temple, and they're standing as you enter into the Holy of Holies on either side of the Holy of Holies. They're not on the mercy seat. Many differences. All gifts are from God. Would you agree with that? All gifts, all your talents are from God. Not just simple gifts, it's not simply gifts of intellect or simply gifts of oratory nature or simply gifts of spiritual understanding, but all gifts of every kind are from God. From your physical abilities, from your spiritual understanding, from your natural talents, and your gifts, what I would call gifts of help and encouragement, which would be gifts of compassion, gifts of hospitality, gifts of kindness. All gifts are from God and should be used for Him. All gifts should be used under the influence of the Holy Spirit of God. Gifts from God should be carried out with the understanding that it is a blessing from God. If we understand that and we continually tell ourselves that it's from God and it's a blessing from God, that'll help us to not be puffed up, not become prideful. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31 says, "Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to what? The glory of God." Do all to the glory of God. Use your talent for the glory of God. The highest use of your gifts is to dedicate them to the service of God and to His work. Bring honor and glory to Jesus Christ's name and to God Almighty. So if we look at just an application of this chapter, you know, if you look at chapters 36 through chapter 39, we see the construction, the making of these instruments of the tabernacle. So chapter 31, we have them being called by name by God on Mount Sinai to Moses. You get to chapter 35 and you see Moses presenting these men to the people, and the work begins. And through chapter 39, they're completing the work. Bezalel could not build the tabernacle alone. God gave him Aholiab, and they together taught those that God had filled with the wisdom of heart to work in the manner of the work of the tabernacle. You see that in Exodus 35 and verse 34. And he hath put in his heart that he may teach both he and Aholiab, the son of Ahishamach, the tribe of Dan. Them hath he filled with wisdom of heart to work all manner of work of the engraver and of the cunning workman and of the embroiderer in blue and in purple and scarlet and fine linen and of the weaver, even of them that do any work, of those who that devise cunning work. God has given others the ability to work with this wisdom. And it was the task, the responsibility of Bezalel and Aholiab to teach them. The ministry, the work of God, is for the children of God. If you've trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you are part of the family of God. And as part of the family of God, you have a work to do. We can't do it alone. It's too big a work. We must work together to do the work God has called us to do. Look over quickly at 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. In 1 Corinthians and chapter number 12, you ever want to humble yourself? Go back and read 1 and 2 Corinthians and realize you're no better than these carnal Christians. Don't put yourself on a pedestal saying, well, I'm better than those. This church at Corinth was a carnal church. And it was a horrible, wicked city. And if we would just go back and remind ourselves we're nothing, we're blessed to be a child of God, and we go back and we read Corinthians like we could be in that church and like we could be a member of that church, it will help us to keep ourselves humble before the Lord. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 7, the Word of God says, but the manifestation of the Spirit, this whole chapter is talking about gifts. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. God's given His Spirit to us as Christians for His profit, for His benefit. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another word of knowledge by the same Spirit. And it goes on and talks about gifts. Look down at verse 12 for sake of time. For as the body is one and hath many members, all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. So we as a body of believers are of the body of Christ. And you know this chapter as it goes on talks about individual parts of a body and how a body can't function without those parts. The body of Christ can't function without your part and without my part. All Christians are called to fulfill some tiny piece of work in the great work of God through the Spirit of God. If we do not do our part, as the Father shows us, then we are falling down on our responsibility as a Christian. You know, Jesus told Peter, I will build my church. Not Peter's going to build his church, but I, Jesus Christ, will build his church. So if Jesus Christ says he will build his church, it's for him to select workmen. It's for him to select workwomen and assign them their duties and give them the gifts they need to complete their duties. So if you've trusted Jesus Christ, your Savior, you've been chosen by God for your work that He has given you. And He has given you the gifts to complete that work. Now it's our choice to decide what we're going to do. So the important part of this lesson is Bezalel was filled with the Spirit of God. It is not enough for us to have the Spirit of God. He must have all of us. It is a privilege of every believer to live in the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit, to be filled with the Spirit. He has called you by name. How have you responded? Have you responded by Bezalel and Aholiab? Or have you decided, no, I don't want to use these gifts. I'm too scared to serve the Lord. I'm too fearful to work for the Lord. You'll be, if we go over and look at the teachings of Jesus Christ, you look at the parables, you can see what happens when you don't use your talent for the Lord. What happens? It's taken away and given to another. You lose it. You've been called by name by God. How have you responded? Heavenly Father, thank you for this lesson. As we come to the close of the book of Exodus in this lengthy study, I pray these last few weeks you will help us to close this book and this study bringing honor and glory to you. And we thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us. Bless our pastor. It's been a busy weekend. Give him the strength he needs, dear Lord, to preach, thus saith the Lord. And help us as listeners, as the congregation, to listen on purpose. To listen for the call of God, to listen for the encouragement of God, to listen for the Spirit of God to speak to us in that still small voice. Help us to respond to you correctly. For it's in Jesus' name we pray and ask it. Amen.